Who is wise? That's the title of this message, and I think it's a timely one. We're seeing, shall I use the word, all kinds of craziness in the world today. To make it even worse, the craziness we're seeing often promotes itself as wisdom, as being right, and promotes wisdom, what we would call wisdom, as being folly. You know, our Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But we're told you're a fool if you believe the Bible. Not to mention you're a fool if you believe God created the universe. You're a fool if you believe that marriage should be restricted to a man and a woman. You're a fool if you insist on telling the truth in all situations. You're a fool if you believe there's only one way to heaven. That's craziness. Or is it? Again, some say we are the crazy ones for not joining in. So who is right? Well, James helps us greatly. He asks this question, hence the title of this message, in James 3, verse 13. Who is wise? And as directed by the Spirit of God, he asks and then answers this question for us in two different ways in the passage that I have the privilege of opening up with you now, verses 13 to 16. We see the evidence of wisdom, verses 13 and 14, and then the competing options for wisdom, in verses 15 through 18. James is called a general epistle, but it's really more like wisdom literature. It reads more like Proverbs than it does an epistle, moving from topic to topic. James is a pastor, and he's addressing his flock that he loves very much that have been scattered throughout the Roman world, emphasizing how to be doers of the word and not just hearers, emphasizing faith as something that should be seen. Now, he talks about the evidence of wisdom in 13 and 14 when he asks, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life and by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. So how do you tell if somebody is wise? Do you check their IQ? Do you see how they did on their ACT? Do you look for some other aptitude test, their GPA? And James helps us to see, no, there's a huge difference between intelligence and wisdom. Wisdom is more than just knowing information. Wisdom has to do with the God-honoring application of wisdom, of knowledge to life. And how do you spot it? Well, you see it in the verb that he uses here. Let him, NIV says, show it. ESV, let his by his good conduct, let him show his works. The Authorized Version, let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is wise? Well, he says there's evidence for it. If you want to know who's wise, when you're listening to Fox News or CNN or you're talking to somebody, look for the evidence. And here's the evidence. If you're wise, you show it. That's verse 13. If you're not wise, you also show it. That's verse 14. Well, if you're wise, what's it look like? How does it show itself? James just used a farming metaphor in verse 12, talking about fig trees, olives, and grapevines. In Jack's message, we saw that. He's going to use another farming metaphor in verse 18, talking about sowing and the harvest of righteousness. I think what he does for us here is he talks about the seed that produces wisdom, and then the harvest that comes out of it, or the root and fruit, if you like that analogy. He says there will be good conduct. This is the visible harvest or fruit of wisdom. By his good conduct, let him show his work, says the ESV. By his good life, by his good behavior, says the NAS. The kind of example seen in Proverbs and in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you now see James begin to lay out before us. James is showing us what wisdom looks like. But wisdom is more than just good conduct. There will be meekness. Here's the seed that produces it, the unseen part of true wisdom. In the meekness of wisdom, says the ESV there in verse 13. Meekness, or power under control. Paul in Corinthians calls Jesus the wisdom from God, where Paul is in that passage confronting schisms in the church. James is confronting the same problem with his readers. I hadn't really picked up on this until preparing for this. James, as a pastor, is very concerned that his people, those scattered, are divided, that there's schisms between the two of them. And he's going to go right after that in our next time together in chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? You can spot wisdom by seeing, as he said back in chapter 2, which person you ask to sit next to you. Do you ask the person that's got a lot of money and wearing nice clothes to sit next to you in church? Or do you ask the person that doesn't have very much? You can spot wisdom by its fruit. Now, he also, in Jack, points out the contrast. Here's this contrast. If you're not wise, it shows, verse 14. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, he writes, in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Here's the evidence of the lack of wisdom. There will be bitter envying. You'll be wanting what other people have. You'll be insisting on obtaining it. And it's not just stuff either. It could be recognition. It could be, I want the position you have, the honor that you have, the appreciation you have. And where there's envying, secondly, there will be selfish ambition in your heart, says James. By the way, have you ever thought about this? What you want may be a good thing, like good kids, a growing church, but you want it for selfish reasons, for selfish ambition, says James. And when that happens, that's not wisdom. James just exposed an example of this at the beginning of the chapter when he said in verse 1, not many of you should presume to be teachers. Why not? Is wanting to be a teacher in church a good thing? It could be, but it could be the absence of wisdom. It could be the evidence of selfish ambition. And there's no place for that in the church. Where there's envying and selfish ambition, that's not wisdom. And then he throws in this third evidence of it when he says there will be lying against the truth. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Do not boast about it. That's interesting. Again, that's the very thing that the world encourages us to do. Don't be satisfied with what you have. Want more. Insist you get more. James says no. If you see those things percolating in your heart, don't boast about it for sure. It's not wise to do that. And don't do this either, he says. Don't boast about it or deny the truth. The NISB, I think, captures the sense, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. James's point is there's more than one way to deny the truth that we say we believe in the Bible. And it might not be necessarily writing out a doctrinal statement where you deny it. It might be just living a very self-centered life. When you do that, you're denying the truth that you profess to believe as you follow a Savior who denied himself and went to the cross. There's another subject that we address, as James does now quickly, and that is the competing options for wisdom in verses 15 to 18. First, wisdom from below, verses 15 and 16, and then wisdom from above in 17 and 18. Wisdom from below, four things are true of it. First, it is earthly. Notice how he says, verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have selfish ambition and envy, there you find disorder in every evil practice. As opposed to heavenly, it's earthly. It's simply the best fallen man has to offer. Wisdom from below is the survey says approach to life. It's a recent study says that 62% say that same-sex marriage is okay. So we'll go with that. It's the earthly approach to wisdom. It's unspiritual, secondly, or sensual, says the AV. Natural, says the NAS. Again, it's the approach to life that's horizontal, it's flat, it leaves the Creator God out of the equation. It's demonic, thirdly, or devilish, says the AV, of the devil. The devil does offer a wisdom of sorts. However, fourthly, it results in disorder and every vile practice. Verse 16 again, where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. There they are again, and he repeats it again. We just saw that in the previous verse, envy and selfish ambition. Where you see that root, you will see that harvest or that fruit. This wisdom is calling for our attention. Live life my way, it says. Life will be great, it says. But James says that is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, and results in disorder and every evil practice. I read that and it sounds a lot like Hollywood to me. Unfortunately, it sounds like a lot of churches too. And that's why James is writing this to believers. When you buy into that way of thinking, you're buying into a wisdom that is from below. There is a wisdom from above, and that's what Dave's going to be expounding on in verses 17 and 18 for us in just a moment. Some questions to ask ourselves as we apply. Number one, what does the evidence say about me tonight? Am I a wise person in God's eyes? Again, just the text is just so clear. If I am wise, by God's grace, there will be good conduct flowing from a heart where there's meekness, as the one who is wisdom from above is reproducing his life in me. If I'm not wise, there will be bitter envying, selfish ambition, and lying against the truth. And I'm just asking, the text forces us to ask, what's the evidence saying about me tonight? Number two, which type of wisdom do I exhibit? God's or the world's? Again, the world's wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, demonic, and results in disorder and every vile practice. But God's wisdom is first pure and peaceable and gentle and so on, as we'll hear in a moment. The question again is, what's coming out of my life tonight? Think about your relationships at home, with your neighbors, in this church, at work. Do I exhibit wisdom from above that shows up in meekness characterized that spills over into grace and kindness? Or is it the envying and selfish ambition and so forth? The third question is, where do I need grace today? What needs to change? What were you just convicted about as we read through this portion of God's Word? Well, thank God for that conviction and then for the grace He now extends in Christ so we can change. Go to work on that area starting tonight, because that's what wisdom always does. Let's sing another song and then we'll hear about wisdom from above.